people to be, just work and find some unity in our communities.
You got it, man. Right on.
Shout out to Dana and to the city of Oregon. Shout out to Craig Culver and, of course, our friends at Culver's who do great work and obviously work with us. And thank you, Melissa. Thanks for sending that.
Great story.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And thank you for News Channel 9. I don't see the
I didn't see the reporter mentioned.
The
yeah.
reporter on here either, but it was their story, News 9, WOW, yeah. and the pictures are really cool.
Yeah, good stuff.
Just the tiny Culvers and all the cars. It really got me this morning. Like I said, James, dumb that it made me tear up. But
I hear you.
Good stuff, good stuff.
You two have a great day.
You too.
Yeah, you too.
Melissa, have a good one. We'll talk soon. Take care.
Will do.
We got Morning Magazine coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Paul Gauguin Cruises.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The FDA's just taken a giant step toward making the opioid overdose drug Narcan more widely available. It's authorized the prescription nasal spray to be sold over the counter. Correspondent Cammie McCormick has late-breaking details.
This will be available without a prescription as an overdose antidote. It is a first for opioid treatment. How much of an impact this will make on overdoses is unclear, and it isn't clear how much it will cost.
Narcan could be available in supermarkets, at gas stations, even online by late summer. Starbucks former CEO goes before lawmakers on Capitol Hill this hour to defend the company's response to attempts to unionize. In prepared remarks, Howard Schultz says the coffee chains tried to bargain in good faith and only disciplined baristas for violating policies, not for trying to organize. 291 Starbucks in the U.S., about 3%, have voted to unionize. Friends and co-workers are remembering the six people shot to death at a Christian elementary school in Nashville this week. Pastor Jim Bachman was friends with custodian Mike Hill.
Everybody loved Mike. Mike knew the kids in the school, knew their names, and took a very personal interest in them.
Governor Lee says his wife had planned a dinner date with her best friend, substitute teacher Cindy Peek, who was gunned down Monday. Three children were also killed. Huntsville, Alabama Mayor Tommy Battle says one police officer was killed, another critically wounded, after they responded to a 911 call of a woman shot.
This is one of those times when there aren't words. Words to express our sorrow, words to express our support for our law enforcement officers.
The suspect is charged with capital murder. A powerful weather system from the Gulf of Alaska is pushing into Northern California. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
This atmospheric river that is going to bring some damage to California is going to bring a whole lot more damage as it moves east and into the midsection of the country. We've got at least 7 states under threat for severe weather on Friday, and this is the one that we're watching. It includes portions of the South that were so devastated last Friday, so 7 days apart for these severe weather events.
Group of women, average age 73, who claim Switzerland isn't doing enough to slow climate change, are taking their suit to the European Court of Human Rights. CBS's Vicky Barker.
It's the first time the European Court will consider the impact of climate change on human rights. The women have already lost their case in the Swiss courts.
The Dow is up 251 points. S&P ahead 40. This is CBS News.
CBS News is brought to you by Paul Gauguin Cruises. Artfully authentic, all-inclusive year-round cruising to Tahiti and the South Pacific. Visit pgcruises.com today.
I can't wait for what's next. Even with higher stroke risk due to atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem, Eliquis, apixaban tablets, reduces stroke risk. It's the number one cardiologist-prescribed blood thinner.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without talking to your doctor, as this may increase your risk of stroke. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or have antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or unusual bruising, or if you have tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. It may increase your bleeding risk if you take medicines such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Daytime highs approaching 31 this afternoon under sunny skies. Winds out of the northwest 10 to 15 miles per hour. Clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows dip down to about 13. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow. High of 42. Cloudy skies. A dusting of snow tomorrow with another 2 to 4 inches Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 20.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this March 29th, 2023. It is 10:05 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Maloff, here. And we are going to be welcoming in a round of guests today as we are talking politics. We are going to be interviewing candidates not only for the Wisconsin Rapid School Board, but for the Wisconsin Circuit Court Branch 4 Judge. At 10:35, Mike Deary will join us. About 10:20, we will talk with Craig Lambert. And right now in studio with us, Kathy Stebbins Hintz join us. Good morning, Kathy.
How
are you doing today, Kathy?
Good. I'm doing good, and thanks for having me on this morning. I really appreciate it.
One of the more important questions I'm going to ask you, Kathy, am I pronouncing your name right?
It's Kathy Stebbins Hintz.
Hintz. Excellent. Thank you very much, Kathy.
Absolutely.
I do want to start off by thanking the League of Women Voters and the Wisconsin Rapids Community Media and the great work that they have been doing covering these topics and everything. Appreciate their work. Kathy, if you don't mind, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I have lived in the Wisconsin Rapids area for 35 years. My background is as a educator in the community. I was a teacher at Lincoln High School for 13 years, taught social studies, and then I went on to work in the curriculum department in the district. I was the principal at East Junior High School for 7 years, and then went back and became the director of curriculum and instruction for another 8 years. I retired from the district in January of 2020. So I've been enjoying retirement for 3 years, but have really missed the involvement with the schools and feel I still have something that I can offer and give. I just add that I have a pretty strong background in not only my educational experience, but also my my personal education. I have a bachelor's in secondary education, teaching social studies, and I also have a law degree. And finally, I just completed my PhD in educational leadership and policy analysis. So I'm kind of an education junkie, maybe that's what you could say. I have 3 kids. All of them are graduates of Lincoln High School. They went their full career before college at the Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools, and I'm very pleased as a parent with their experience. And my husband was also a teacher in the district.
Thank you for all that. And impressive. Very impressive, by the way.
Well, thank
you. Just as a side note. Very impressive.
I don't know about that. I just like school.
Why did you choose to run to be a member of the school board, especially considering you're in retirement and everything? Mm-hmm.
Well, I just have a really strong belief in education. I think it's the greatest opportunity for all kids, no matter their backgrounds or where they come from, to have the opportunity to pursue school after high school, to go on to college if they want, to learn employability skills, and to become citizens and contributing members of the community. And I just really, really believe that we in WRPS make that happen for kids. I've seen it happen for kids, and I want to be able to continue to contribute to that. I want to be able to support the great things that our district is doing every single day and also be a part of always improving the district to make it better.
What do you see as the biggest challenge facing the school board?
Well, I think the biggest challenge for any school board, whether it's Rapids or any public school right now, you know, in the nation, really, and in the state of Wisconsin, is being able to balance the budget, being able to be good stewards of the taxpayers' dollars with providing the best education for every single student. Mm-hmm. Every student has different needs. Every student has different abilities. And we need to make sure we're doing our best for every single kid. And that's hard when, you know, we have revenue caps, when we have you know, not necessarily per pupil increases, but sometimes those increases are frozen. And we also need to recognize that in the community, you know, we can't keep asking the local taxpayers to pay more and more. So we need to recognize that and be good stewards of the taxpayer dollars. So it's that balance. Everything else, you know, that's kind of the overarching mission of the school board. And then under that, we need to be sure that we have strong test scores, that we have safe schools, that kids are getting a nutritious meal every day. So all of those other things, but that overarching balancing of those two needs is really critical for board members.
Hmm. What do you think is the best approach when dealing with a parent's concerns?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is listen, and really, really hear what those concerns are. You need to be a good listener. And then as a board member, my role, you know, my role as a principal, my role as a teacher, my role as a curriculum administrator was different than my role would be as a board member. As a board member, I need to get that parent connected mm-hmm. with who in the district can help them, mm-hmm. who in the district can support them, whether it happens to be their teacher or their principal or another administrator that's involved. And follow up with the parent and find out if they're satisfied with how their issue was resolved. Mm. Oftentimes, I found just in listening to the community and some of the concerns that they have, there are procedures and policies in place to help them. And sometimes it's just educating parents on what those policies and procedures are and sharing that with them so that they can follow those policies and procedures.
Hmm. Kathy, what do you see as the board's role in supporting teachers?
It's a critical role. I mean, our teachers are where the rubber meets the road. Bottom line, if kids are going to have a good education, it's got to happen with that person that's in the classroom with them on a day-to-day basis. So there's several roles that we play. Number one, we hire the leadership. So it's making sure we hire strong leadership that will support those teachers. Number two, we're responsible for district policies, so making sure we have policies in place that will be supportive of teachers. Budget is another huge piece, and that goes back to what I said before about making sure we're compensating our teachers fairly and giving them what they need, but at the same time, we have to balance that with the community needs and being good stewards of taxpayer dollars. So that constant challenge is there. And listening to teachers, and when there are concerns similar to how you listen to parents, referring them to the appropriate people and following up to make sure that their needs have at least been heard. You can't do, every time a person comes to you and complains, you can't necessarily do what they want, but you can get them to the right people so that we can begin the process of supporting them and hopefully resolving the problem or the conflict.
We're speaking with candidate for the Wisconsin Rapids School Board, Kathy Stebbins-Hintz. And Kathy, when it comes to your position, how do you think your position on the school board will bring about positive change in the district?
My background provides me a great deal of information about what's going on in the district. So when it comes to issues that are brought up, I probably have ideas and solutions and knowledge that can help. I also know what many solutions are because I've been such an integral part of the district for 35 years. I worked in the district before I retired. And I think, you know, I can come up with solutions. The other thing, if you talk to people that I've worked with, whether teachers or other administrators, I do kind of have a reputation as a change agent. So I'm always looking for solutions and looking for ways to resolve problems. But doing that collaboratively and working with other board members proactively so that we can come up with solutions and resolve issues and conflicts.
Kathy, we have a growing community in like many areas. This area is growing and diverse, getting more and more diverse. How important do you see inclusion being?
it's critically important. It's what our schools stand for. You know, Horace Mann said public schools are the great equalizer. It's the place where we again, you know, a kid that might come from a background where no one in their family has ever gone to college or ever gone to vocational school, we can provide those opportunities and make sure those kids have those opportunities. And then the cool thing is they come back and they're productive members for our community, and it just helps our community. So that's just an absolutely critical piece.
Did you, great quote, by the way. I love that quote.
I do too. Yeah.
Did you ever think you'd run for school board?
Actually, no.
I really didn't.
And I have enjoyed my retirement immensely. And not that school board by any means is, you know, going to negate the fact that I'm, you know, you can balance being on school board and being retired. Many, many people do. But no, I didn't. But I saw a need this time around. I saw a need. There's a lot of negative talk about our schools in the community, and I'm really concerned about that. And I want to work with all community members to try and help them understand the great things happening in our schools. And I think because I have a knowledge and an awareness of that, I can help people understand better that we really are a strong school district. We have great things happening, and not that we don't have warts and pimples like any institution the size of WRPS, but I think we can work together and continue to provide the best school district possible for our students and the best education for every student.
I really have appreciated the conversation, Kathy. Final question, we'll let you get out of here. Why should your community consider you?
Because of my passion and my dedication to the school district, and because I have background and knowledge that will help me as a school board member, there are things I'm going to know hitting the ground running. And I guess probably most important is I'm always student focused. I care about what happens with every individual student. That's absolutely critical to me. And I think that's what we're all about when it comes to schools, right? We want our kids to have the best possible education they can get.
Again, we appreciate the time. Kathy Stebbins-Hintz joining us, a candidate for the Wisconsin Rapids School Board for these spring elections, part of our spring elections interviews that we're doing with all the candidates. Again, greatly appreciate the time, Kathy. Thanks you so much, and nice to meet you.
Thank you, James. Nice to meet you, too.
Take care.
Okay.
We will take a quick break here, and we'll come back with our next candidate. We will be talking with Craig Lambert, Wood County Circuit Court Branch 4 judge candidate, coming up here on Morning Magazine at WFHR.
The spring election is Tuesday, April 4th. It's being called one of the most important in the country, with candidates for one state Supreme Court seat on the ballot.
Vote. Then tune to your local civic media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
It kicks off at 7 p.m. with a special As Goes Wisconsin.
Then at 8, news director Terry Bell has results with reporters checking in from around the state.
Election coverage live Tuesday, April 4th, starting at 7 on your local civic media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Daytime highs approaching 31 this afternoon under sunny skies. Winds out of the northwest 10 to 15 miles per hour. Clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows dip down to about 13. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow. High of 42. Cloudy skies. A dusting of snow tomorrow with another 2 to 4 inches Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 20.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome back, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this March 29th, 2023. It is 10:20 on the clock, and you have your host, James, here. We are speaking with candidate for Wood County Circuit Court Branch 4 Judge Craig Lambert. Good morning, Craig. How are you?
Good morning. Glad to be here. Thank you. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. And thanks a lot for the time. Appreciate this. So, Craig, we'll get right into things. But first off, do want to thank the League of Women Voters and Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Big thank you to them and all the good work that they've been doing. Craig, can you let us know a little bit about yourself? Tell us a little about yourself.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm Craig Lambert. I'm the district attorney, born and raised here in Wisconsin Rapids. I'm a graduate of Lincoln High School, the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and the Wisconsin Law School. I'm married. My wife is a public school teacher. She's in her 33rd year of teaching. Have two kids. My oldest is a boy. He's a junior at UW-Madison, and I have a daughter that's a senior at Lincoln High School.
Thank you for that, Craig. Appreciate it. Why did you choose to run for this position?
Yeah, so quite frankly, I think I'm the best person for the job. I think my background, my experience, and my values make me uniquely suited to be this county's next judge and the best person for it. So I've been a lawyer for 26 years. I mentioned I'm the district attorney. I worked in private practice for the first 5 years out of law school. I was in a medium-sized law firm over in Appleton. Enjoyed that, did well, made partner after 3 years, but had a chance in 2001 to move back here and be a prosecutor. And that's where my heart was. So I moved back home to be a prosecutor in my hometown. Been in the DA's office ever since 2001. I was elected DA in 2012, reelected in 16, and then reelected again in 2020. I've successfully prosecuted thousands of crimes. Also served 8 years in the National Guard as a judge advocate. That's an Army Army lawyer.
Yes.
I often explain to people, if you can think of things that people would need a lawyer for, the Army oftentimes needs lawyers for that too. Mm-hmm. And I mention that because I did some pretty significant things in the Army as a judge advocate. Among those were providing legal assistance to soldiers that were deploying and mobilizing. So if they needed a will, I did a will for them. If they needed power of attorney documents, I did those. And I would hope that those clients in the Army that I helped and the officers I helped advise commanders, I would hope the people I served with and helped in the Army would think that that was significant as well. And then I mentioned my values, and as long as I mention the Army, I'll mention that too. My service in the Army was important to me, and I try to live my life by the Army values, mm-hmm. and those are the values I bring to this job. Leadership, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage.
What are the positives to adding this new branch for court to our county?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think it's primarily a numbers and efficiency issue. You know, we've had three judges for a long time. I think in 85 or thereabouts was when we got our third judge. Now we're going to have four. So it's the same amount of work, but spread over four judges. Mm. So hopefully people will get quicker access to justice. I was explaining just the other day that, you know, it's kind of like if you need some plumbing work done at your home and you contact a plumbing outfit and they have three plumbers on staff or they have four plumbers on staff. If they have four instead of three, you're probably going to get your plumbing work done faster. Mm-hmm. Or you want to go to the clinic or a clinic and there's four doctors on staff instead of three. Hopefully you're going to get an appointment sooner and get treated sooner. So I view it as kind of like that. It's a numbers and efficiency issue.
What discretion does a judge have in sentencing? What are your feelings on alternative options to jail time?
Yeah, so judges have a lot of discretion. There are some crimes for which there are mandatory minimum penalties, but in most cases and most crimes that people are convicted of, the sentencing is totally up to the judge. But there is a framework that judges are supposed to follow. So under the law, case law, that means prior cases decided by appellate courts, case law tells us that judges are supposed to first consider probation and only order confinement in jail or prison if probation isn't appropriate. And sometimes it's not. Usually that's because of the gravity of the offense or the person's been on probation before multiple times and failed. So that's one thing. You have to first consider probation. But then there's three primary factors a judge is supposed to consider: the gravity of the offense, the need to protect the public, and the character of the offender, which is also sometimes referred to as the rehabilitative needs of the offender. Those are the three primary factors. But then, as a prosecutor for a long time, I can tell you there's other factors that I think judges should continue or should consider too, like the impact on victims. That can be an incredibly significant factor. Deterrence, sending a message to others and to the community that if you commit these crimes, these are the consequences, or these could be the consequences. And punishment. Sometimes people just plain deserve to be punished for the bad things that they have done. Regarding alternatives to incarceration, certainly I would consider those when appropriate and do those when appropriate. Every case is different. You need to consider those factors I mentioned, but then also, you know, a person's criminal history. What are their treatment needs? Is there a victim in the case or not? We do have an adult drug treatment court, and that is a successful program. And oftentimes that gets people that I like to think of that in central Wisconsin as probably our best treatment program for drug addicted people. We're able to help some people significantly. It's a high risk, high need program. Mm-hmm. So only people that are very high risk and very high need get into that program. But we are able to help some people that way. I'd love to see a veterans court, maybe a domestic violence program, not because I'm soft on domestic violence, but because we need to stop domestic violence. People coming back after repeatedly abusing their spouse, I'd like them to get the intensive treatment they need and stop the cycle of domestic violence. Most people that come through our criminal courts, I think, deserve to be appropriately punished for the things that they have done. But there are a number of people that could benefit from a diversion or treatment program. Mm.
What are the factors you consider when it comes to considering the amount for bail or whether to consider no bail for a defendant? Mm-hmm. This is a bit of an interesting one, I think, too.
Mm. Yeah, no, for sure. And this is on a lot of people's minds now. There's a referendum that we're going to be voting mm-hmm. on April 4th as well. So judges right now under the law are supposed to primarily consider a person's likelihood to return to court when they're deciding whether or not the bail should be a cash bail. And I would like judges to be able to, and I think judges should consider other things too, not just are they going to return to court, things like a person's prior criminal history, protection of victims, protection of the public. Judges in reality are doing that now anyway, but we have to frame it in the context of are they going to return back to court or not. Mm-hmm. And the example I like to use with people is, let's say I'm prosecuting somebody for a domestic violence case. He keeps abusing his wife. Mm-hmm. He gets out on a signature bond because he's never missed court. We think he's going to return to court, so he gets a signature bond. But then he commits another crime against his spouse in violation of his bond. Maybe there was a no contact order, but he violated the no contact order. Maybe he committed another domestic offense. And then his attorney comes in and says, well, he's never not appeared for court, Judge. You're supposed to first consider he's going to come back to court. He is going to come back to court, so let him out on the signature bond. Maybe the judge gives him another signature bond. Mm-hmm. Then he goes out and commits a third crime against his wife. I should be able, as the DA and as a judge, to say, you are not listening to my court orders. I ordered you to have no contact with her. You're not supposed to commit any new crimes, and you keep abusing your wife. Mm-hmm. So it shouldn't just be, is the person going to come to court or not? We should be able to consider some of those other factors as well.
That actually plays into this next question, I think, very well. In a topic similar to the last one that is nation news as well as here in Wisconsin, what role do ethics play in being a judge?
Oh, a huge role. Judges have, I think, a responsibility, incredible responsibility, to always maintain the impartiality, independence, and integrity of the judiciary. And sometimes that means not just that judges have to be impartial, but they have to appear to be impartial. So judges always have to be careful in their associations, in their friendships, and always appear to be impartial and uphold that integrity of the judiciary. People need to have confidence in our judicial system, and they're only going to have that confidence if judges maintain that high ethical standard.
Did you ever see yourself being a judge? Did you think about those early days in law school? Is this something you ever thought about?
Um, I I think any lawyer, maybe that's too strong. I think most lawyers probably have given that some thought, so I'd be lying to you if I said no. But to be honest with you, right now I'm doing the job I wanted. I wanted to be the DA in my hometown. And I've had the opportunity to do that the last 10 years. Mm. But given my 26 years as a lawyer, my 8 years as an Army lawyer, and my unique experiences, I think I'm ready to help the people of this county in a different way. And like I said, I think I'm the best person for the job, and that's why I decided I wanted to be judge.
And this, you may have answered it already, but considering that, why should your community consider you for this position?
Well, I have answered it.
I think you have.
Yeah, I have. But I guess I can add to some of the things I've already said. It's been my experience that when people come to court, and I'm in court almost every day, when people come to court, they really just want a fair shake. And what I mean by that is they want a fair opportunity to be heard. They want to be treated with dignity and respect. And they want decisions that are going to be made based on the facts and the law and not some extraneous or maybe even improper factor. And that's what people are going to get with me. They're going to get treated with dignity and respect, and they're going to get fairness.
Craig, one of the tougher questions I'm going to ask you, we'll wrap up on. Favorite TV attorney? Do you have a favorite attorney? Like, I'm a big Jack McCoy guy from Law & Order. I loved Sam Watterson as Jack McCoy. Did Matlock, any attorney, anyone stand out to you?
I'm going to take a little bit of license with your question and expand it to movies. Atticus Finch, To Kill a Mockingbird. My favorite book of all time. And a great movie.
Great reference. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I'll definitely allow that one. As somebody who was literally in To Kill a Mockingbird in the play and everything, I played Sheriff Heck Tate.
Oh, nice.
I will definitely okay that one. That definitely goes in. Craig, in all seriousness, do appreciate what you've done for our community. Appreciate the time that you've spent with us today. Thank you so much for it. Great to meet you.
Yeah, great to meet you. Thanks for the opportunity.
We'll take a break and we'll come back and talk some more with our candidates right here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute? When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Daytime highs approaching 31 this afternoon under sunny skies. Winds out of the northwest 10 to 15 miles per hour. Clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows dip down to about 13. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow. High of 42. Cloudy skies. A dusting of snow tomorrow with another 2 to 4 inches Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 20.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We appreciate the updates. Welcome back, everyone, to Morning Magazine. You have your host, James, here. It's 10:33 on the clock, and we've been talking with a number of our candidates for the 2023 spring election. Right now, we have Mike Derian with us, candidate for Wisconsin Rapids School Board. How are you, sir?
Very good. Thank you for inviting me.
I appreciate the time, Mike. Good to see you. Thanks again for being here with us. And I do again want to thank our friends at the League of Women Voters and Wisconsin Rapids Community Media and the great work that they have done on this subject. So, Mike, let's go right into things. Can you tell us about yourself?
Well, I've been a longtime resident here. I moved here, actually, in 1973. Worked in the mill, both Port Edwards and Nacoosa, for 43 years. Learned a trade there. Worked on as a heavy equipment repair mechanic, working on everything from lawnmowers to trains.
Why did you choose to run to be a member of the school board?
Well, that's an interesting question. After having attended the school board meetings for almost 3 years and really not getting anywhere with the school board, a friend of mine told me, if you want to make a change in life, you've got to get involved yourself. So at that point, once I started realizing some of the things, issues were going on in school, I just couldn't sit back and do nothing. I had to step into the ring.
Well, with that, what do you see as the biggest challenges facing the school board?
The biggest challenges I see is the academic levels, especially in reading and math, because from the forward exams test scores, they're terrible. I'm going to just quote you a little bit of information here. Our third graders in 2015 and 2016 were only 45.9% proficient in their reading skills. And by 2021, that dropped down to 30.1, which is a 15.8% drop. Well, that's just not acceptable. That means at that point that we have 70% of the kids that are not proficient in their reading. And reading is so vitally important to kids. You cannot get through life without having good reading skills.
What do you think is the best approach when dealing with a parent's concerns?
That's another good question. As far as parents go, they pretty much haven't been a part of the school board, and I wish that we could start bringing that back. But certainly once I'm a school board member, my hope is to bring parents back into this, because they're your kids. You need to be involved with them. I know everybody's busy taking in time in their days, but we need parents' back involvement in this whole process.
What do you see as the board's role in supporting teachers?
Well, the board needs to provide the teachers with all the necessary funds, policies, curriculum that the teachers need. The teachers really are I call them the heavy lifters of our school system, because they're on the front lines. They need to deal with the kids and help them to become the individuals that they want to be, you know, that the community needs for right now.
How do you think your position on the school board will bring about positive change in our district?
Well, that's a very good question. It's going to take a concerted effort working with the school board. You know, and the focus is not on an individual basis. The focus, because, you know, there's going to be inconsistencies and maybe quirks that everybody has, but the focus has to be on our kids. We have to all work together, whether there's history there, whether there's issues there. We have to set that aside, and we have to focus on what's the real issue, taking care of our kids.
We have a growing community. How important do you see inclusion being?
I guess I need a little clarification.
The diversity of our community, the growing of our community, whether that is an ethnicity or a financial thing, but we have different factors happening all the time in our community with our schools. How do you see that playing? How important is that to include that, to have more representation, if you will?
Well, you know, I'm a firm believer in, you know, listening to other people's voices, other people's ideas, because it helps foster growth in the community, and certainly we should be doing that.
Mike, did you ever think you'd be running for school board? Did you ever see yourself in this kind of position, days ago, in your 20s, and you're like, oh, I'll be on a school board one day? Like, did you ever see that coming?
Not in my wildest dreams to ever think this, but like I said, you know, I've got children, I raise children, I got grandchildren, I got great-grandchildren are going to be a part of this. And once I realized that, you know, things are not where they ought to be for our kids educational-wise, you know, I decided that I've got to do something about this, and I'm very much able and willing to jump into the ring and start working at some of these issues.
And why should your community consider you for the Wisconsin Rapids School Board?
Well, you know, all my life I've been a hard-working soul. I can remember even when I was 10 years old, working in the fields, picking strawberries, beans, cucumbers, and things. So I've never shied away from hard work. And then later on, when I worked in the mill, a lot of hard work there. And especially then, once I became a craftsman, working on, like I said, everything from trains to lawnmowers, it's a lot of hard work. But, you know, you have to, when you have to repair things, you just can't give up and say, it's too hard, it's too dirty, I don't want to do it. You have to stick with it. And with that mindset, that's the mindset I'm bringing to the school board as well.
Great to see you again, Mike. Really appreciate the time for you. Thanks so much for joining us today. If it seems short, that's your fault. You're too efficient, sir. Your answers, you're in and out with your answers. That was great. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for the time, Mike. Always do appreciate it.
Well, thank you, and it's good seeing you again.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
We'll take a quick break here. When we come back, we are going to open up the phone lines to all of you. Welcome you to the phones, to the show here. When we come back on Morning Magazine at WFHR.
They are our cuddlers and co-workers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets, and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there is nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Daytime highs approaching 31 this afternoon under sunny skies. Winds out of the northwest 10 to 15 miles per hour. Clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows dip down to about 13. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow. High of 42. Cloudy skies. A dusting of snow tomorrow with another 2 to 4 inches Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 20.
Welcome back to Morning Magazine, everyone. 10:41 on the clock, and your host, James J. Maloff here. We've got about a little under 20 minutes left of show, and we're going to fill it with you. We want to go ahead and talk to you guys out there. Go ahead and call up right now, 424-2600. What are some of the bigger concerns to you in our community? What are the things that you are looking for out of our candidates when it comes to the issues that are concerning you? Love to hear about them. Love to hear from all of you. No, it's a little bit different that we don't normally do this kind of thing with Morning Magazine, but trying something different here and want to interact with you guys a little bit more. Do want to real quickly thank all of our guests today. A big thank you to Kathy for joining us, to Craig, and to Mike for being here today. Really appreciate that. We will have more conversations regarding our candidates for the spring elections coming up. Tomorrow, Chris Inda will join us, candidate for Wisconsin Rapids School Board. And a little bit later in the week, on Friday, we will have Tim Giebert, candidate for Wood County Circuit Court Branch 4 Judge. On Friday, that'll be the first interview. At 10:15, we'll talk with John Krings, candidate for the Wisconsin Rapids School Board. We did reach out to all of the candidates and everybody that got back to us. We wanted to make sure to not only get on the air, but wanted to handle this the way Carl would. As I've said many times on this show, Morning Magazine, was created and everything by Carl and Pam Hilke with great care and great at. And all I'm trying to do is not break the show. I will ask all the candidates the same questions, different for judge as school board, but the same questions for each candidate in the same amount of time. We want to make sure that this is done fair and there is no room for any any obscurities or anything like that. So that is the purpose of why the same sets of questions. When a candidate answers a question, I'm not following up with another question or anything like that in my own opinions or anything. This is just straight up information. And that's what we want to get to you guys, because that's what this is about. Now, that as far as that information goes, if you are looking for more information regarding the elections coming up or anything in general, really, when it comes to the elections, we've got a great site for you, myvote.wi.gov. Myvote.wi.gov. That is the website you can go to. Find out more information about the 2023 spring election coming up on Tuesday, April 4th. If you are voting absentee by mail or where to vote, any of the information you're looking for there, it's right there. I was just pulling it up myself just as I was talking here, and it is so darn easy to navigate and get around. All the information you could be looking for is right there for you. Again, at myvote.wi.gov. Encourage you to check that out. It's also other side note here. Great way to track your ballot. I like being able to do that. I think that's kind of fun to be able to do nowadays. So 424-2600. You want to call up? Go ahead and feel free to call up and join the show here and let us know some of your thoughts about the interviews you just heard or some of the issues you believe in this area that are a concern that maybe you haven't heard people talking about. This is your opportunity to be heard. We'd love to hear from you. Otherwise, feel free to stick around and be listening for those other interviews we have coming up in the next couple of days. We'll look at our schedule in a moment here if we have time. Just going to touch on some random news and notes and such right now. I did want to mention this. The Wisconsin Emergency Management, WEM, and the National Weather Service are conducting a statewide tornado drill on April 20th at 1:45 and at 6:45 p.m. So both of those will be in the afternoon and then at night. Our stations, are encouraged to promote the tornado drill and push messaging about severe weather safety. So keep that in mind. On April 20th, you're going to be hearing a bit of the tornado tests, and you'll have our airwaves will probably be interrupted for those, just to keep that in mind. Our good friends at the Aging and Disability Resource Center have Managing Caregiver Stress available. They're providing care for a loved one can be rewarding, but caregivers can also experience stress, guilt, and frustration. Join them for a one-hour session tomorrow. Registration is required, so you want to go ahead and do that. And you can register at adrc-cw.org, adrc-cw.org. For Anago, Marshfield, and Wausau, you'll meet at 10 to 11 tomorrow at the ADRC-CW offices. And for Merrill and Wisconsin Rapids, it'll be from 2 to 3 at their ADRC-CW offices. Both programs will be offered virtually as well. You can find out more by going to their website and register at their website, adrc-cw.org. Spring is here. And the American Red Cross is reminding the public that they need that the need for blood doesn't take a break. Donors for all blood types, especially type O donors, are encouraged to make and keep appointments. Book a time to give by visiting redcrossblood.org. That is redcrossblood.org. You can download the Red Cross app as well to donate. Have an opportunity tomorrow from 12 to 5 at Oso Brewing Company at 1800 Plover Road. And also on the 30th, from 8:15 a.m. to 2:45, Stevens Point Blood Donation Center will be taking in donations. And they're actually going to be doing that over the next couple of days, the 30th, 31st, on the 1st as well. Encourage you to donate if you are able to. Let's see, and I wanted to also mention, because I was talking about this, going on over at the Lowell Center, our friends at the ADRC, have some events going on. Tomorrow at 8 to 3:30, the AARP Tax Aid Program is available. From 8 to 4, Walking Path. 8:30, they'll have Hatha Yoga. At 9:30, Line Dancing. And at 12:30, Bridge. It's Wednesday. You know what that means. Bingo! Bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693. Join our friends at the Elks Lodge every Wednesday at 6:30. Their doors open at 5. You can get playing some bingo at 6:30. Great food, great atmosphere, wonderful people. And the Elks Lodge, when you do things with the Elks and at the Elks Lodge, you are also putting back into your community, because our Elks Lodge, that is a big part of what they do, putting back into this community. Go enjoy yourself, have a nice drink, some good food, and maybe see some people you haven't seen in a while. smile and get some good bingo in. Bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693 at 430 West Jackson Street, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Our friends at Focus, Feeding Our Communities with United Services, now have joined forces. All three are in their original founding service, all three in one location. They are all under the same Focus umbrella now, and they're at 2321 West Grand Avenue. The Focus Neighborhood Meal Program is also there. Of course, meals are served in-house on Thursdays at 2321 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids from 4:30 to 6:30. As well as that, the neighborhood table also provides meals to go. Meals are served, are distributed every Thursday from 4:30 to 5:30 over at the over at 411 Garfield Street, Wisconsin. Since a limited number of meals are available, reservations should be made online by going to theneighborhoodtable.org. That is theneighborhoodtable.org. And if you don't have internet access, you can give them a call, 715-422-1980, 422-1980. Also wanted to mention this, there is no place like Creative Arts Day. Experience the many talents of Wood County's 4-H youth. This is all taking place this Saturday, April 1st at 9 a.m. at Pittsville Schools. One-act plays and skits, demonstrations, arts and crafts, decorated cakes, photography, Lego building, vocal and instrumental performances, all taking place along with concessions being provided by Shady Lane 4-H and the teen leaders. There's no place like a Creative Arts Day with the 4-H going on this Saturday, April 1st, starting at 9 a.m. over at Pittsville Schools. Tomorrow, co-hosting the morning show with me will be Terry Johns, of course, CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. And we'll be talking about a little bit of these things, but just to give you a preview and make you, you know, help you be able to mark your calendar, we got a book drive coming up with the United Way, and it kicks off on April 3rd, goes until the 28th. Drop off books or cash donations at the United Way office at 351 Oak Street in Wisconsin Rapids. It's time to donate new or gently used books, children's books. The biggest need are baby board books and easy readers. Books will be distributed during the Great Book Giveaway June 6th through the 13th in Adams Friendship, Nakusa, Port Edwards, Rome, Rudolph, Vesper, and here in Wisconsin Rapids. And we'll talk a little bit more United Way and some other things, and we'll probably talk with you if you call up 424-2600. First, let's take a quick break. Our final one of the show, we'll come back and have some more conversation on Morning Magazine.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly sunny this afternoon with a high of 31. Winds out of the northwest 10 to 15 miles per hour. Clear skies tonight, lows level off around 13. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 42. Cloudy skies expected. A dusting of snow tomorrow with another 2 to 4 inches Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 21.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Appreciate the updates. Appreciate our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center joining us all morning long, keeping us informed on Mother Nature. Welcome back to the last part of Morning Magazine here at WFHR. James Jay here with you behind the mic. Thanks for joining us, everybody. I'm still taking your phone calls. If you want to call up here, 424-2600, let us know some of your concerns in the community. What are some of the things you're looking for when it comes to our school board or the new branch judge that is going to be incorporated into our judicial system? Any of these things, feel free to call up and join the conversation, 424-2600. Otherwise, taking us to the top of the hour, I did want to thank our guests again. Big thank you to Kathy Stebbins-Hintz for joining us, along with Mike Deary joining us, candidates for the Wisconsin Rapids School Board. We also want to thank Craig Lambert, candidate for Wood County Circuit Court Branch 4 Judge as well. Other candidates will be joining us coming up. Tomorrow, we're going to have Chris Inda joining us, candidate for Wisconsin Rapids School Board. He'll be kicking off our Morning Magazine segment. After that, we're going to talk with Jasmine Carbajal, 4-H coordinator with UW Extension. I don't believe Jasmine is running for anything, but we'll ask her. We'll find out. After that, we are on Friday going to talk. We're going to kick things off on Friday at 10:05 with Tim Giebert. He is the candidate for the Wood County Circuit Court Branch 4 Judge. At 10:15, or around that time, we'll talk with John Krings, candidate for Wisconsin Rapids School Board. And looking forward to that, and looking forward to all these other candidates joining us. Again, big thank you to Pam Hilke and the fantastic job she did reaching out to all these candidates and them getting back to us right away. Appreciate them doing that. Wanted to get into some station news and notes around here, and we are so excited about this. You know, every Monday on the morning show, we have the kitchens open. Big shout out to Chatterbox Catering for sponsoring that segment. We get some Chatterbox Catering in your life. Melissa does a great job with this show. She works really hard on it, and we appreciate having that show. Well, we also have done something on our show for a long time, whether it's Over the Back Fence or the morning show, where we have our monthly veterans updates with our good friend Bill Heck. We are trying to figure out a great way to get Bill on the air here and what would be a good slot, and we found it right after the kitchens open. So starting up on April 3rd, we'll have it back, our veterans updates from our good friend Bill Heck. He's back in town, and we're looking forward to putting Bill to work. looking forward to Bill joining us. So you can look forward to on Mondays, once a month, we'll have our monthly veterans update, and it'll be about 9:20-ish, 9:25, somewhere around there after the kitchens open segment. Looking forward to that, and a big thank you to Bill Heck for joining us for that show. It's always a good time talking with Bill. Appreciate it. Also, wanted to mention that tomorrow on the morning show, Terry John's going to be sitting in, co-hosting the show. We got the band back together. And in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Madison and our friends from the Southwood County Humane Society. Yes, it's our pet of the week. We're looking forward to that. That is going to be a lot of fun. We've been really having a blast with this segment. Looking forward to having her join us, to Madison join us tomorrow, talking a little more pet of the week. Big thank you to her. And of course, want to thank all of the sponsors we have had. We have a different sponsor every week for this segment, and can only do that because of this great community that we have. Big shout out to all of the sponsors we have had. This week, it's Cotton Thimble. Cotton Thimble is our sponsor this week. We have worked with Cotton Thimble many times over the years. Great people over there. Greatly appreciate the work that they do. Also wanted to mention this, our sister station, W1055 WIRI, is Hoozle's Rise to Music Competition going into effect. That is right. We are not only looking for bands and musicians out there to be a part of this, but we're looking for sponsors as well. If you want to be a part of this and this huge fun event that is only getting bigger and bigger every year, get in on the ground floor. Get in on right now. Call up our sales staff. You can get the hold of them by calling 424-1300. That's 715-424-1300. You'll be in you'll contact with Pam, and Pam will put you in touch with Steph, one of the best in the business right there, and this great event. Big shout out to Hoozles, to Steph, and all the great musicians that are joining us for this one. Cannot wait. Is it here yet? Is it not yet? Okay. Keep waiting. Can't wait. Hoozles Rise to Music 2 coming at you. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to this one. and plenty of other great things going on here at the station. As I mentioned, we've got all of this other stuff going on, and we will be covering the election, spring election, closely. Not only us here, but of course, Melissa doing even more work, not just covering our area, but covering multiple areas for civic media and civic media in general. This is our wheelhouse. We're going to be covering this election and keeping you informed on and up to date on the candidates and all the different things coming up with this subject. So looking forward to that as it goes on. As we're wrapping up the show here, I'm going to ask our judges this question if we have time. It's just more of a fun question, not the seriousness that, of course, that the subject matter always entails, but want to have some fun with our candidates and also want to be able to show their human side a little bit. I think that's more and more important the farther we go in society, making sure that you don't just look at our candidates as school board possible members or possible judges, but human beings. We need to do a little more of that. So I was asking Craig, and want to ask others, favorite TV attorney? Who was your favorite TV attorney growing up? Most attorney, you know, you don't become a judge without being an attorney first. Thought this was a fun question. I thought that a great answer from Craig there with Atticus Finch. You can't go wrong with Atticus Finch. I'm a Jack McCoy guy. Jack McCoy from Law & Order, Sam Waterston played, one of my favorites of all time. I also a big fan of Perry Mason. My Nana and Papa loved that show. I always thought Perry Mason was a great show. You can't talk about a TV attorneys and not talk about Ben Matlock. Got to talk about Andy Griffith, right? That's a good one. What about more on a more fun side? That the attorney, Jackie Chiles, I think it was, on Seinfeld. That was a good one, too. Go ahead and email and send us your thoughts on this one. We'd love to hear it. For now, we're going to get out of here.